Let's take a deep look now at a new study that finds that many doctors are not urging their preteen patients to get the HPV vaccine, even though the government recommends it. Now, the HPV, or human papillomavirus, is the most common sexually transmitted virus in the U.S. It can cause cervical and throat cancers. And the vaccine can prevent the virus spreading, therefore prevent cancers. But the study showed that many doctors feared parents would object to a vaccination or get the idea that asking for it inferred their kids were sexually active. Dr. Allison Kemp of the University of Colorado is lead author of the study, which was published this week in the journal Pediatrics. She joins us from Denver. And Dr. Kemp, why were you even looking into this?
Well, this is an incredibly important problem because 30,000 cancers are caused by HPV every year. Cervical cancer, as you said, being the most common. And that cancer kills 4,000 U.S. women annually. There are a lot of people that are affected by this virus, and it's a very effective vaccine.
Well, and so what did these 600 or so pediatricians say?
Well, this was a national survey of both pediatricians and family physicians that care for young adolescents. And one of the very surprising things to us was that only about 60% of physicians in both of these groups were strongly recommending for 11 and 12-year-old girls and boys, even lower numbers for boys. And as adolescents got older, they were more likely to recommend it. And this is, you know, a real fallacy on the physicians' parts because they don't seem to, for one thing, recognize that the vaccine really, to be optimally effective, needs to be given before sexual activity, optimally at 11 and 12.
Huh. So what's fascinating is that I'm guessing that some of these doctors thought that to mention to parents a vaccine about a sexually transmitted disease when the kids were 11 or 12 would maybe, they'd be afraid, convey to the parent that they thought the child was sexually active when the importance is to do it before they are.
That's exactly right. And, you know, a good percentage of these physicians said they were not mentioning it or not strongly recommending it because they expected the parents to refuse. But another common thing was that they thought the patient was not yet sexually active. And that indicates we need to do a better job of educating physicians as well as parents.
Right. They misunderstood, yeah.
Right, because once you're sexually active, you have a good chance of acquiring the virus, and then the vaccine is not as effective, if at all.
Well, so tell us a little more about HPV. It also can cause things like genital warts. So that's something that, you know, a healthcare provider might see, you know, visually see it. But how else do you even know that somebody has it?
Well, you usually don't. Because most people are asymptomatic until many years later they develop cancer, either cervical or, you know, other kinds of genital, or increasingly oropharyngeal, which is mouth and throat. So these viruses are silent for many years, and then they can cause cancer much later in life. And unfortunately, although we don't see the results of our failure to act early on, the failure to act can't be reversed. You know, if you don't give this vaccine before someone is infected, you've sort of lost the game.
Well, we know it's been available, as we said, for girls since 2006, for boys since 2011. Some of the thinking that boys then aren't spreading it to girls, you know, that it stops the chain of spreading it. And we know there's a screening for women for HPV-caused cancer, cervical cancer. There's a pap smear test. But is the concern also that boys might get the cancer?
Yes. Boys do develop genital cancers, anal cancer and penile cancer and other genital area cancers, and they can also develop oropharyngeal cancer. So it's not just about the girls. Plus, you know, genital warts is an extremely difficult problem if you develop it. It's not fatal, but it's very difficult.
Even though that's a separate HPV, that if you've had genital warts, that does not mean you have a greater risk of cancer.
That's right. Those are different viruses.
This was driven home in my circle recently when a friend, an older male, was diagnosed with HPV in the throat. It was shocking to his family. We're hearing there's nothing that could have been done to screen for it. But what are other concerns once an adult has developed a cancer caused by HPV? Can they have spread that to their partner? Can they give it to children in any way through, you know, through the birth of a child? Will the child maybe have picked up the HPV?
No, that's not really a concern through birth. But yes, I mean, people before, when they're infected, generally earlier in life, transmit the virus, generally through sexual activity, and they don't know they've done it. And of course, it doesn't always cause cancer. It rarely does, but it's a prominent cause of cancer.
Well, to strike home how rarely it does, I'm reading that just about every adult who's had sexual activity probably has had the HPV, I'm being redundant, virus at some point, but it often just dies off.
That's right. So something like 1 in 4 people are infected with HPV if you look at any particular time. And of course, this is different in different age groups and different sexual activity. But overall, among adults, it's something like that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty common.
Yeah. So women have the cervical screening, pap smear. But, you know, as I mentioned, I have a male friend who it was in his throat and it was quite advanced. How might that be found?
Well, often dentists are the ones that see the oropharyngeal cancers, if primary care doctors are not the ones,
yeah.
Either one of those two. But dentists are commonly the ones.
Yeah. So ask them to look. Quick question. If an adult is diagnosed with either the cervical cancer or throat cancer, is there something they should do? You go back over their sexual partner history and maybe tell people? Or is it such a roll of the dice as to who's going to get cancer? You don't need to do that.
It's really not practical to do that because they may have had contact when they were quite young. You know, they're not longer able to go back that far. And secondly, you're right, it's a roll of the dice. And most people, of course, will not develop cancer. So doing that would be a public health nightmare and it wouldn't work very well at all.
Is there any way, I mean, the time to give the vaccine is before sexual activity, is it too late after sexual activity? In other words, if there are adults now thinking, should I get this vaccine?
Well, it is still recommended up through age 26 in females, for example, because, yes, you may have acquired one strain, but you may not have acquired the other strains. So there's now a 9-valent strain. That means 9 different strains of HPV are included. So, yes, it is still important to get vaccinated, but the point is, the earlier you vaccinate, and if, you know, the better, and if you succeed in vaccinating before any sexual activity, you've pretty much won the ball game in terms of the most prevalent strains that cause cancer.
Well, what do you say to the people who are afraid of vaccines for different reasons? I mean, they feel that it's putting into their child the very thing they're trying to prevent, which is what vaccines do. And there might be a small risk of, you know, they're getting infected.
Well, actually, that's not really possible with virtually all of, well, certainly with HPV. This is not a live vaccine,
uh-huh.
So it can't cause the infection. Okay, but what it does is it presents to the body an sort of an imitation of the immunologic trigger, and it causes the body to respond, and so that it can protect the body if there is a real infection with the virus. So I know people have a lot of concerns about vaccines, but this vaccine has been shown over and over across the world, not just in the United States, to be extremely safe.
It's something that's trying to fake the body into thinking it's HPV. It's so it'll mount an attack. It's not HPV.
It's not any kind of a live virus that is being injected. It is a way of waking the body's immunology up so that it can handle the vaccine if it ever appears.
Yeah. As a doctor, to see these results that so many other doctors are afraid of pushing a vaccine that could be life-saving because they're worried, as you've said, about how parents might react and they don't understand it. What's that like for you to get those results?
Well, you know, it's discouraging a little bit, although I have a lot of empathy for primary care doctors. I'm a primary care doctor. One of the other reasons that people cite is it takes too much time to explain this and to deal with parents' concerns. And that's something we've seen over and over again in the surveys we do. Primary care physicians feel very strapped for time. They're trying to do a lot of things. And if parents have a lot of questions and concerns, it's very tough. So that's another reason. So I have some empathy for it, but I also think that we're not actually presenting this optimally in primary care. Many physicians, and this is from other work that others have done, Many physicians are not presenting this vaccine as they do the other two routinely recommended vaccines in adolescents. They're sort of making a big fuss about it and presenting it as a very different type of vaccine. And for that reason, I think they're, you know, helping to perpetuate this cycle of parents being more concerned and more likely to refuse or delay getting the vaccine.
So let's get the word out. You say make it routine, and it doesn't
reflect,
it doesn't reflect anybody's opinion of your children and their sexual activity.
Exactly. It's a routine adolescent vaccine, just like meningococcus and Tdap, which are the other two vaccines we give.
That's Dr. Allison Kemp of the University of Colorado, lead author of the study showing that many doctors aren't pushing the HPV vaccine because of the fears we just discussed. Dr. Kemp, thanks so much.
Thank you.